All right. Hey, yawn. Happy Father's Day, everybody. So good to see you. Man, it's summer. It's summer. And I'm surprised the rain, all the rain we've been getting. It's amazing. I know in June, I feel like something happened. I remember 10 years ago, we got a lot of rain. I was hanging out with maybe it's longer than that. Time passes fast when you get old. But I remember hanging out with my grandfather, my grandparents, and them complaining, we can't get in the fields to bale the hay. It's too wet to get out there. That's a real problem. That's an issue. But I hope that's not the issue right now. But man, the rain. I have a little pond, and it must have been like 10 feet over, 10 feet high. All the water runs off from the neighbors, comes to our pond. We had to clear out a side of it just so it'd run past it. It was crazy. I have little cabins off the pond. They were getting up towards, these are on pier and beams. Water was getting so high, it was at the bottom of the houses. It's crazy amount of rain. We hadn't been like this in a long time. I don't know what the deal is, but we're glad for it. We love the rain, and I wish what Lord would just spread it out a little bit. If he could just give us a little in July, a little August would be great. Love the August rain. That's always refreshing, but it's a reminder, too. If you can't feel it or sense it, I think we're on the edge of revival. And I think you can always sense it because of everything else that stirs up in the world culturally, wars and rumors of wars. This always has to happen right before revival because there's a shaking. I love Billy Gurley. He did a great job last week. There was actually a passage that I sent out to our volunteers earlier in the week. And something just stirring in my heart that God shakes things so we can see what is unshakable. And we have received a kingdom that is not able to be shaken. And so when God starts to allow things to be shaken, then we get to see what is stable and of God because it's immovable. And we get to see what is not of God because it starts to move around and scatter and flee. I was sitting on the beach last Sunday as well, and there's this place where we were sitting, and Allie were there, and the message was so relatable because he was talking about a violent wind. The Holy Spirit's like a violent wind, and where we were, it was a violent wind. Like, it was just a nonstop wind of 40 to 50 miles an hour is what it felt like, just nonstop. But as we looked and sitting there, we'd spend time with the Lord, and the trees would just sit there immovable. The leaves were shaking. The palm trees and other trees that look like oak trees, they weren't moving. Now you have a 40 to 50 mile an hour wind, just a violent wind, but the trees are immovable. The leaves were shaking. It reminded me of those who are in God who are unshakable. Their hands are waving. The palm fronds were worshiping God in the wind, but the trees themselves were immovable. There's something about being in the wind of God and being able to stay and move with God and be unshakable with God that allows the density of the wood to be able to strengthen the tree in such a way. It allows the density of our faith to be able to stay and have staying power and perseverance through no matter what is taking place in life. Can you hear me? That's the people who are ready for revival. When the density of their faith, like the muscle density of being able to lift like supernatural strength, it's the ability to stay in supernatural, with supernatural strength in definitely perilous and difficult times. That's the type of people that God wants to bring revival on and through as well. Things to keep in mind. And I want to welcome you also into this story. Fathers, men, people who are here to portray the heart of God, of a father. And there's many, when you just start talking about fathers, there's many feelings that start to get stirred up. Many people who struggle today, many people who have been blessed by fathers, many people who have never known what a real father is. Many of you are a father, whether you know it or not. You're a spiritual father. You're a mentor. You're a leader. You're the best father that some have ever had. And though they may not be your own children, they are very much children of your leadership, your influence, your guidance. And they look up to you in great great ways. And I want to remind you that there is a fire in you, or at least there once was. There's something in the heart of every man that longs for more. And I'm going to talk to you about a book that I love. I read it a couple of years into my faith and really discovering what it means to walk with God. This series, we're taking you through some different books. Different books we'll be referring you to. But this one is called Wild at Heart. See if it's in here. Wild at Heart. This is a book by John Eldridge. I loved it. I think every man should read it. I think every woman should read it so that she can know her man. I think she might have a better understanding of who she's doing life with. Because we are, not only are men to live with their wives with understanding, which is a mystery, women too are to live with their husbands with understanding. That doesn't mean we'll understand one another. It means I'm choosing to have a curiosity to the mystery so that I can pursue understanding. Does that make sense? Well, I think too, we need to understand ourselves because we do long for more. And I'm just going to reference a lot of things throughout this message. I'm not creator of this message, John Eldridge, and I believe God has given him guidance through it. This is not replacing the Bible. The Bible, I'm going to use some scriptures to advocate for this. So just a disclaimer. It's the same with all of these books that we'll be talking about. But there is a fire. There is a desire. There's a longing for more. There's a longing. There's a longing inside of us. And there's a smoldering. Paul would say to fan the flame to Timothy. There's a longing to fight for something, to pursue something, to rescue someone, to feel fully alive. There is this desire, no matter where it is, whether it's just a little ember or a flaming, roaring fire, it is inside of every man. But somewhere along the way, we get tamed. Maybe we trade our sword for a spreadsheet. Maybe our risk for a routine. Maybe our roar for responsibilities. And now, if we're honest, we're a little tired. We're exhausted, tapped out. Not just physically, but our soul is tired. Our soul has been wrestling, finding, trying to find that fire again, wondering, where did I lose it? Where did I leave it? When will I and can I find it again? Many of us are wondering down inside, though we may try to be creating an adventurous and exciting life, down inside, we're probably wondering, is this all there is? Dads, whenever we see our little kids, I'm in the stage where I have a 6-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl, and I see both of them full of adventure and excitement. They're yesterday throwing water balloons at each other and making up little games, and my son is riding his motorcycle all over the property and wanting to do stunts and running through mud and loves it when it's all up his back and in his hair, like the adventure of life. And we wonder, you watch them and wonder, where did all that fire and drive and passion and sense of adventure go? What happened? Where did my fire go? When we're in that the lonely times or the alone times or the in-between times, we have to settle into our thoughts and the things that we're trying to avoid with all these other made-up adventures and counterfeit purposes, and it starts to settle in, which makes us uncomfortable. Is this all there is, and where did my fire go? Is there actually more? Because we used to be like the little boy riding his motorcycle, the little kids making up games with sticks and stones and water balloons, playing war, living out the warrior life. I did, and I know you did too. But somewhere along the way, we were told to be nice, be safe, be responsible, be quiet. You can finish this. Don't speak unless you're... Dang. Silence of the Lambs, right? And so the wild inside of us got buried under bills, shame, mistakes, pressure, and fear. But I believe something today, there's still a warrior inside of every one of you. There's still a fire. There's still a smoldering of an ember that if Paul said to Timothy to fan the flame, that we can still fan and it will come to a roaring flame. And I believe it can become such a roaring flame that people will be able to stand around it like a bonfire. They may be roasting marshmallows and hot dogs, but they're at least going to feed off the fire that's inside of you. It is there. You're still a man with a mission, whether you feel it or not. You may not have, you may have battle scars. You may be a little bit weary. You may have been knocked down a time or two. You may have failed, but a righteous man falls many times and gets back up. But you're not finished. We're not finished. Because the world doesn't need passive men. It needs fathers who show up, lead strong, love fiercely, and live free. And it's all in that last part that we're able to do the others. Living free so that we can love fiercely and lead strong. Today, it's not going to be about barbecues and gift bags, which many churches are probably handing out right now. We're trying to call fathers, men, husbands, brothers, sons back to their true identity, back to the heart that God has given us before the world beat it out of us. And the question is, will we live safe or will we live free? I want to talk to you about what it means to live wild at heart and why your family, your faith, your legacy depends on you waking up again. So, Father, you still carry the wild. This is your Father's Day message, and this is going to be a declaration to your life. The question beneath the surface of every man is this: do I have what it takes? Every man wonders, longs, redirects and directs, looks for, seeks after some kind of confirmation or a lifestyle that will prove to others, hopefully first himself, that he has what it takes. Remember the little boy, so full of fire and adventure? When did we lose the fire in our eyes? When? How many of us are living tamed and not free? How many of us are still waiting to be spoken to before we speak? How many have missed the understanding that our words are power and life, and the world needs the declarations and the breaking down of strongholds of men and fathers? The verbal breaking down of curses over families, over cities, over churches, over nations. And we're waiting to be spoken to. Let me tell you, the Father in heaven has spoken, and he's waiting for you to speak. God designed men and fathers with a warrior's heart. You've got something to conquer. God has given you an assignment. He's put purpose and passion in your life. You were made for adventure. In fact, Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden." This isn't butterfly garden. This isn't a Zen garden with gazing balls. There's no fireballs in this garden. There may be fireballs sent to the enemy. These are lions in this garden. There's wild killer hippopotamuses in this garden. Heck, there may be pterodactyls in this garden. We don't know. But the reality is God first put man in a garden to tend it, to keep it, to bring it under submission. God places Adam in the wild before ever giving him a family. Why? Because God had to prepare a warrior's heart so he could lead well his family. And somewhere along the way between birth and family, the world has tried to tame the heart of every man. You scare the dickens out of the enemy of your soul, and he's done everything he can to shape you into perfect submission so that you will not be able to lead well your family, your church, society, community, and thereon. But there's still an ember inside of you because the fire of God lives within you. And no one can put out the fire of God. The wilderness is man's first home, not suburbia. Adventure isn't a luxury for men. It's wired into us. It's a demand, a desire. It's innate. He created you to be a warrior first so that we could learn through battles and lead through battles. Wild at heart, the book says, deep in his heart, every man longs for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. Every man longs for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. The problem becomes when we get focused on a beauty to rescue, then that becomes the sole purpose of our adventure, and then somehow becomes a battle. Men are most alive whenever whatever in life that we're pursuing is a battle worth fighting for, a purpose, an adventure, a reality, something very challenging that causes us to lift up to, elevate to, find that fire and kindle that fire and fan the flame of that fire. It means it's beyond our abilities. We have to acclimate. We have to stretch out. We have to risk take. Then comes the adventure of it all. And then every woman wants to not be the adventure. They want to be along with the adventure. Not a woman in here wants to be the adventure of a man. They are here designed by God to come alongside and be on the adventure that the man is leading them, protecting them through, and guiding them upon. And a man is never more alive whenever he's leading his princess, his queen, his rescuer, the one he's rescued along the journey, the adventure, and the battle that that man is designed to fight. That's life. That's life. Are you risking something for the right reasons right now? Is what you're fighting for real or a counterfeit? Was it designed by God or settled in by you? Is it your comfort zone or does it make you extremely uncomfortable? Are you hiding behind safety and routine? Eldridge tells of men who come alive when hunting, hiking, building, facing something unknown, doing the unforeseeable because you can see it when no one else can see it. Why? Because that's where they likely feel alive. That's where men start to feel alive in those arenas. Doing something with great adventure and risk. Number two thing we have to know is wounds are real. Proverbs 20 and 5 says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There's counsel inside of you that are very deep waters, as if the deepest ocean. Areas that have yet to be unexplored. And it's only in the exploring the deep waters of your soul that true wisdom will be bubbled up, unearthed, found, discovered. And only then will you be able to lead as a man, a warrior, with understanding of things that other people around you that you've been called to influence can't understand. It's the excavation. It's the submersion. It's the going down into the deep waters of your heart to find healing, to find recovery, to find what has happened traumatically in the past that has come up and living out, causing you to live out on your surface. We all carry these. And what really needs to be dealt with and handled within all of us are the pains, hurts, and sufferings that are deep within, buried by life's version of our identity and our purpose. In fact, I'll say we haven't found our true identity and our purpose until we've started to do this deep dive in the depths of our soul. Most men have a father wound, either absent, passive, angry, or impossible to please. Every one of our fathers fit in one of those four categories unless they were a complete healed man by God the Father. And unfortunately, the fifth is a hard person to find. But God hasn't called you to lament and complain about the one who couldn't. He's given us assignment as the one who can. He's given a responsibility to fulfill and live out the things that you now know because you're a man in Christ and you've been sitting in a seat in this church for any length of time. You've heard it. You're responsible for it. Wild at Heart says that every man must answer the question, do I have what it takes? And I will tell you with an adamant, absolutely you have what it takes. And in the finding and discovery and the becoming, it's going to require going into your submarine and going to the most submerged area of your soul to allow some real healing and recovery to take place. And then you just become the identity and carry the purpose that God has made and created you for. And if it wasn't answered by our Father, we spend life trying to earn it because they were absent, they were passive, they were angry, or they were impossible to please. So because we don't understand what it means to just receive these things and walk in His ways, we spend our lives and our energy and our mental capacity, our emotions, trying to earn something that God is saying, here, would you just receive? Who named you? Who told you what it means to be a man? Was it loving? Was it biblical? Was it strong? Unhealed wounds become roadblocks in how we love our kids, lead our wives, and engage God. Unhealed wounds become roadblocks in how we love our kids, lead our wives, and engage God. Before we move from here, I want you to reflect on this. Throw me that little beach ball. This is your heart right here. This is your soul full of life, joy. Isn't it fun? Don't you just want to just throw it up and swat it and knock it into the crowd and then just start bouncing it around all around the room, full of adventure in life, right? And this is our life, our heart, our soul, the fire and the fun. And life just starts to handle it a lot, starts to mess with it a little bit, starts to tell us we're not going to be enough, we're not adequate. We're not getting true affirmation. Be nice, be quiet, speak when you're spoken to, and that's it. But what wounds are we carrying into fatherhood? What wounds have we taken on? Because it seems like to me that things happen in life. I grow up as a kid, I'm full of excitement and adventure, and then all of a sudden something happens in my teenage years, and it's like, the fire just starts to dull down a little bit. I know it's there. I remember. I have memories of my life just being so full of life and fire. But life happens. Pains happen. Things go unfulfilled. Expectations are unmet. Life isn't what my family taught me to be, it was going to be, or they didn't teach me what I needed to know to be an adult, a human. And then I get into relationships and they're hard and I don't understand them, and financial situations, and it feels like there's just another layer of life that's conditioning my heart and taking the fire out. And I'm moving from a sense of adventure and fire and excitement to being tamed by life. The wounds have been left unhealed, and now I'm controlled by all of these wounds that I don't even know what they're doing to me. But something just doesn't feel right. It feels off. You ever been in a situation where something just doesn't feel right? You feel like just last week I was on fire, but this week, what's going on? What happened to me? One thing we need to know is Father God wants to heal and reignite you. He wants to heal and reignite you. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." Another version says, "You did not receive a spirit of an orphan spirit, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." We are adopted sons. Ladies, you're adopted daughters. And if Satan can lie to you, he can create throughout your life before you, even in Christ, before you understand this concept. You know what? You'll always be a slave. You'll never really have a father. And then it starts to compound all the father wounds, because now you're here to walk under authority of God. And now you mean the God's going to be a better God and a more real God than my human God was supposed to be. And now these idea of leaning into and listening to God the Father, who the pastor says and the worship team sings, he's a good, good father, but only memories about my father are trauma and pain. And so what is supposed to be life-giving becomes even more oppressive, because my childhood traumas left unhealed are being pressed down on by my spiritual father, who's actually trying to bring me into a place and a situation, a safe place, so that I can be healed. But my trauma from my past is causing me to relive it in the current healthy presence of where God has perfectly designed a room for me to find healing, but I'm buried in my trauma. But you're not an orphan. You're a son. You're a daughter, and not the way that a passive and angry, a difficult to please, or an absent father would love and lead you to be. You're one exactly how a heavenly father that you can't understand, and so it's going to require a leaning into him and letting go of your own thoughts and your own mind and your own attitudes and your own behaviors and your own ways of doing things. It's going to require a lot of change. We can't lead our families from a place of identity confusion, because this person underneath these layers of trauma and problems and pain and unhealed situations have identity confusion, because there is a heavenly father who's calling me a son, but I don't understand, because life dealt me a situation of cards that make me feel like an orphan, like there's no one there for me. Like I'm all alone, like I'm in a permanent solitude. And your mind struggles to connect the dots on this. Our kids don't need a perfect dad. They need a whole one being healed by a perfect father. I let my kids know, son, daughter, Normally, 90% of the time, your dad is go get him, let's do it, let's have some fun. But there's a 10% of the time where he's struggling, he's working through some things, he's having a hard time, and I let him know this is one of those days where he's having a hard day. They need to know exactly what's going on, when it's going on, so there's no mystery in their mind. When they see that you're off, you don't want the enemy of their soul to start speaking lies into them and make them think that they're the problem, that daddy's off. Daddy's off because daddy's off and daddy's got some stuff he's working through, but he's going to be better really quick. And your kids need to know and be able to understand when you're going through a tough time, a struggling time, you can articulate that to him. You understand with it. You're not trying to tough it up, buttercup. You're just allowing your father to heal you through your trauma so that your kids can see you on the backside when they have recognized, oh, daddy's doing better. He must have received from his father, because one day you're going to want to lead them to their father. Way better than you guys responded, but I like it. So don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. What the world needs is men who have come alive. What is it that actually makes you come alive? You were not made to live small, safe, scared. You were made to risk, to rise, and to lead with passion. Again, Jesus was the most masculine man to ever walk the earth. He was gentle, yet fierce. He was humble, yet powerful. He lived from identity and not approval. He didn't have to earn anything. He knew he didn't need to try to earn anything. Your role as father is a sacred assignment. It's sacred. It's holy. It's to be set apart by God and for God. Psalms 127, 4 says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Children are to be tended to, loved on, ministered, discipled. You got to whittle them down a little bit and whittle into them the shape of their destiny. You've got to sharpen them. You've got to be really intentional. You can't be too hard on them or they break. You've got to be very purposed in the design of what you want them to accomplish. We have to really understand God the Father so that we can articulate into our children what ultimately he has designed them for. We're not raising kids. We're launching arrows. We're the image of God they encounter first. What they see in God, they need to first see in us. They will love the way you love, correct, listen, and bless. That's legacy. If we teach them to love God well, to listen to God well, to bless others well, we're leaving a legacy that no money, no finances, no property can ever overcome, never outdo. Because God will always bless an individual who lives and loves that way. So are we discipling or managing? Are we modeling bold faith, forgiveness, and freedom in front of them? Are we having these real conversations? Do we lead them according to their giftings or our wounds? Do the barriers we put on them come from our fears? Dads, we don't have to be perfect, but they do need us to be real. They do need us to be honest. We do need to be present, passionate, and in process of our own. They can understand seeing us in process and hearing from us that we're in process, and hearing from us what we're going through and overcoming. I notice one of the biggest hang-ups we all have is the willingness to be vulnerable, to go to those deep places, those deep waters, and have some of those conversations with other trusted men who are also willing to take on their warrior heart and rediscover the fire and the flame that is inside. But I'm telling you, I want to unlock some things inside today, because the flame is inside. It may be an ember, but it's down there, and it's going to require going down, submerging, going to the deep waters, truly allowing God to work on the unhealed stuff to the point where we're taking off one layer and it hurts and we're in heart surgery and it feels like the scalpel is just whipping us up like Edward Scissorhands. But I promise you, those are healing hands, because wherever the sword of the Lord touches, it heals, not cuts. It heals. And so as we learn to live within a revelation and we realize the pressure of the environment that God has placed us in as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ is not causing the pain, but rather revealing the pain that is inside. And if we will be a people who quit running from the safe place that God has placed us in and realize we're running from the trauma that the safe place has brought us to, because God has created a perfect place for us to find healing, but we have to be men and women and leaders who will find a staying power and create a density of strength, and we will worship with holy hands, and we will fight the good fight that's not without, but it is within. And we will allow God to reveal layer after layer, and as hard and as difficult and as trying as it may be, we will see the warrior's heart come alive with a joy, like a childlike joy yet again. Can I get a good amen? I want to pray for you. Will every man stand up, please, in the name of Jesus? And if you'll just put your hands over your heart, and ladies, would you just hang a hand over men around you, because you want every man in this room to rise up, no matter their age, to rise up and conquer. I promise you, you do. This church becomes a better place. This community becomes a better place. Every household in America becomes a better place when men rise up and reignite the fire that is inside, that has been planted there by God. It's a purifying fire. It's a holy fire. It's a refining fire. It's a fire that will burn through the traumas and the pains and the hurts and the lies and the curses and the words that have been spoken over for generations. This fire refines, cleanses, purifies, heals, and delivers. So, Lord, reawaken the adventure in our hearts. Heal the wounds that have shaped us. Empower us to love our families like you love them, to lead our circles as you would lead them, and to leave a legacy fierce, forgiving, and full of grace. Can somebody give me a good amen? Amen. I love you guys. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you because you're here and you're not giving up. You're here and you're fighting for your families. When you bring your families, when you lead your people, when you lead by example, you are fighting spiritually. You are fighting warfare that this world, the kingdom of God, needs you to stand firm and fight. When you go out into the communities where God positioned you and you stay steadfast and firm, and you remind people who they are by an example of how you live, you are fighting spiritually. That's a warrior. Bless you.